So for those who don't know me or I haven't met, my name is Michael, one of the pastors here. It's so great to see you ladies. And I think, is it first time for me coming this year, Sue? I think so, maybe.
You're in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm coming back in a couple of weeks. We're talking about Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians. You're going into the study of 1 Corinthians. And if you're a normal attender of this church, on Sunday, I'll be speaking about Paul's missionary journey into that area. So it might be good to actually come and just hear just the first part. You can fall asleep the rest of the sermon. That's okay. But the first part, it'd be good ground coverage for that. All right. So today, I believe you had a study on Genesis 9:18 to 10:32. Just a short passage about how many children that Noah had. Oh my goodness. My goodness, what a blessing. He had lots of children. Lots of children. How many children did he have?
Three.
Three. Grandchildren? Lots. And after that, great-grandchildren? Way too many. Way too many. But, I hope you had a good time studying through Noah and after the flood. So just to bring me up to speed, you need to tell me. So you've done the study of the flood, and then you had the altar sacrifice, you've done all that. And today we come to the exciting part of Noah being naked. Is that right? Isn't that why you ladies come to study about this passage? To know about Noah being naked? No? Yeah? I'm sure you were excited just reading that and studying that. Yeah. All right. We won't go too far into that. Okay. All right. So what we'll do, we'll just cover these in four headings, right? Four slides. Hopefully it'll be quick, and we'll release you to the day that you've got planned. So Noah's sin, we're going to look at the son's response and Noah's response to that, and basically the whole of chapter 10, which is the table of nations, what they call the table of nations. So we know that the sons of Noah who came out of the ark was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Is it Japheth or Japheth?
Japheth.
Okay, thank you for correcting me on that one. Japheth. And the author Moses stresses, right, Moses, we believe that Moses wrote Genesis, right, the first five books of the Bible, that Ham was the father of Canaan, right? He stresses that throughout this chapter 9. And it's really important because we just see and I'll get into it a little bit more, but a correlation between Ham's behavior and the eventuation of his son, or Noah's grandson, of the Canaanites, as you would find out in Exodus and into Joshua, right? So we find out all of those things that eventuate. And it begins here. It begins in this chapter or this study that you've done. It actually begins here. So let's have a look at Noah's scene. Now, this is what we read. Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he helped plant a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. He was drunk and he had passed out. Now, some scholars actually say that Noah didn't know the effects the wine would have on him. Now, Noah is 600 years old by this time. He's 600 years, come on, right? He's 600 years old, and time had passed. He's got grandchildren, right? He's got grandchildren, and I don't know about viticulture, but what I've been told is that you just don't plant and grapes grow. It takes time. It takes time for them to grow. It takes several years to actually produce grapes that will be worthy of winemaking, right? So Noah would have known by this time, hopefully. It's either that or he's very silly, right? He's very silly. Noah drank too much and he ended up in the state that he did, right? What do we learn from this? The flood did not eradicate sin.
Yeah.
Sin is within us. Okay? That's the first thing that we learn. And even though Noah was a very righteous man, right? Very righteous man. And God handpicked him and he was obedient to, and you know all this, the sin followed through, right? Followed through of that. And so, sin was alive and well in the new world, and Noah's folly is recorded to make us wise, make us aware to that, right? And Noah's failure stands as a witness to the dangers that await the faithful, that is us, if we are not awake to it. Right? It doesn't matter how young or how old we are, sin is crouching at the door. Temptation is there, right? So we need to be mindful of that. So sin came into the new world and human predicament was still the same, right? Adam and Eve, the human predicament, our sinful nature was still the same. So how did the sons respond to that? Well, in two ways. And I think this is kind of way that we can respond to sin and also to the people around us who sin. Okay, so Ham, how did he respond? Not very well, not wise at all. And Ham, the father of Canaan, Moses stresses, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside, Shem and Japheth, and took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders and walked backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned backwards and they did not see their father's nakedness. Now, Ham took the opportunity to make it a spectacle of his father's predicament, right? Did he not? He saw he could have, right? Okay, it would have been accidental. He would have saw his father's nakedness, but he didn't need to go out and tell the whole world, right? Especially his brothers. Ah, look what father's done. He's gotten drunk. He's naked, right? And that kind of behavior, that heart, we find in Canaan, and that goes through generations. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. So his actions actually mocked and ridiculed his father. Whereas Shem and Japheth, in marked contrast, they acted to cover their father's nakedness by covering with the garment, as it is told in Hebrew literature, that Scripture takes great care to show that the brothers did not see their father's nakedness, right? They walked backwards, they actually covered him up, and they did not see their father's nakedness. Keeping their backs turned to Noah, they spread the garment across both their shoulders, then slowly backed into the tent and laid it upon without looking. They covered the nakedness of their father. And in 1 Peter 4:8, we read that love covers a multitude of sins, does it not? Right? So they actually loved and honored their father, even in his sinful state, even in this, whereas Ham was not. Now, if we kind of try and bring that to today, how do we respond to people who live a sinful life, who do not know Jesus? How do we respond to them? Do we want to expose them? Do we want to kind of bring them out? Or do we want to be more like Shem and Japheth? To love them that covers a multitude of their sins. Here we must take careful note that the sons covering Noah's nakedness bears monumental spiritual implications, because their actions unwittingly imitated that of gods in the Garden of Eden. Remember that when Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. He covered them, right? Covered their shame, covered their nakedness. And now Noah's sons did the same. All right. So how did Noah respond? Well, we don't know how he found out, but obviously it would have been gossip of the whole family, you know, what's happened and what Japheth and Shem did. And so he found out. And so Noah responds to the actions of his son with curse on Ham's son Canaan, which is interesting, and his blessing on Shem and Japheth. Now, after his curse and blessing, we find that, and we read that Noah dies, right? So this is kind of his last will and testament to his children. And we know that Jacob did the same, and we didn't know that Isaac did the same. When it was time, he would either bless them or curse them, right? This is a tradition that had been going on. This is no different to Noah's the way he blesses and curses. But he would have seen, journeying through all those years with his sons, he would have seen their personality, their character, their heart. And hence his blessing and cursing comes out of that. And why is Canaan the one who is cursed? Because he sees in Canaan what his father is like. And that curse that comes on Canaan, the people, the Canaanites, actually live out that curse. Or the thing that we're talking about here, the nakedness, being exposed, the Canaanites were like that. They were very sensual in nature. And so, let me come back to my notes. So let's go to the curse. And so when Noah awoke from his wine, he knew what his younger son Ham had done to him. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be to his brothers. The curse fell not on Ham, the perpetrator, but on the youngest, his four sons, who was Canaan. He had Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan, and it fell on Canaan because of his nature and personality. Why did the curse fall on him? Noah detected in Canaan the evil traits that he had seen in his father Ham. Canaan was a bad apple who did not fall far from the tree, and he was already walking in his father's footsteps. Hence, this curse was a prophetic word against Canaan. And in generations to come, Canaan was the father of the Canaanites. And you will see these kind of things happening in when Isaac blesses and also when Jacob blesses. Those blessings actually God fulfills down the track. It's a prophetic word over his descendants. And so we know that the Canaanites were depraved nemesis of Israel, and hence that eventuates. And Canaanites were a very centrally depraved people group. If you're into kind of history and ancient history, and yeah, if you go into there, it's horrendous, some of the things that they were getting up to. All right. The curse upon Canaan had immense contemporary relevance for the original readers of the Torah, as they actually sojourned for 40 years in the desert, and their orders were to drive out the Canaanites. Okay. All right. And who were these descendants? They actually come from the line of Shem, right? So you see the blessing and the curse kind of play out in generations down the track. All right, so the blessing. Noah's curse was matched by a blessing. Now, likewise, Noah looked again to the future prophetic vision and saw the rich blessings that will be experienced by Shem and his descendants, the Israelites. And what he saw elevated his soul, not to actually bless Shem, but the God of Shem. He says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. Just as we are surprised to see the curse go to Canaan instead of Ham, also surprised that the blessing is directed not to Shem, but to his Lord Yahweh. Now, the word that's used here for God is Yahweh. It's the covenant name of God that is used. So we don't know, but scholars believe that Noah actually saw something in Shem, and there was a relationship with Shem and God. He saw that. And hence he uses the covenant name Yahweh rather than the Lord God, if that makes sense. Okay. So he is already, there's indication that there will be something special in that relationship between God and Shem. And later we'll see that the Israelites actually come out from the lineage of Shem. All right? Okay. And Noah extends the blessing to Japheth, And it says, may God enlarge Japheth and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. And Noah wishes that Japheth to dwell in the tents of Shem, which involves the sharing of the blessing. Now, can I just pause here? What we say as parents and grandparents to our children and grandchildren matters a lot. There is power in the word, and we do not want to curse our children, no matter what. We want to bless them. No matter how many times we want to strangle them, right? We want to bless them, right? Word has power. Let me tell you this story. It's something that the Koreans share a lot. Some Korean background and Koreans share a lot. And one of the pastors gave an illustration when he was a young, fresh pastor out from seminary, and he went to this country town, and there was only a few families in that village. And as he was pastoring there was this lady who would always curse her children, because they were little rascals, apparently. Two brothers, little rascals, got up to mischief, caused property damage around the village, and all those kind of things. And so what the mother used to say in passing, when she was a bit upset, was say, gee, I wish I can bury you both. Right? And that's what she did. And eventually that came true. They were in an accident, and she did bury them both in one hole. Right, in the grave. So she did bury them home. And he was using this, like, so the pastor was saying this as an illustration. It's like, we might say things flippantly, but our God is the God of the word, and he has power. So I am very careful in what I say to my children, and also to people around me. Not only to my children, but the people around me. Wherever we go, let our words be a blessing on the people. If that blessing is not received by them, where does it come? It comes back to us, right? That's a promise. So please go and bless your children, even though if you want to curse, just hold it. Not say anything, just hold it, right? Holding is better. And just look up. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Hey. 8 years in youth ministry, I survived. All good. All right. Now, moving to the table of the nations. Table of nations. So Japheth has 7 sons, and so we won't go through all the names in chapter 10. All right. Ham had 4 sons, and Shem had 5 sons. And look at the spreading of these sons and the grandsons and the people group. Now, I know you can't see that well. Couldn't get a better, higher resolution of this picture. So Japheth takes the northern part, right? What we, in the New Testament, will be Asia, right? The modern day Turkey and parts of Europe. Okay. And Ham goes into Egypt, right? Down that way. Look where Shem is. He's smack bang in that middle, in the peninsula. But where the battle takes place, from the promise, Canaan is right in that little middle in that bit where Jerusalem is. Yeah. Right? That's where Canaan ends up. And hence, God, you know, we read down the track, right? And you'll see the narratives in Exodus and, sorry, Joshua, right? That's where it all happens, right? The curse and the blessing that actually eventuates in there. All right, so if you look at the people of Canaanites, I know it's small, it's a little inset box. There's the Arvadites, Zemarites, Arkites, Sinites, Sidonians, Amorites, Perizzites, Hittites, Hivites, Jebusites, Girgashites. They're all the people group that God said you need to eradicate, right? So you look at Ham, you look at Canaan, and you look at the people that descended from Canaan. And there you go. There's the fruit of what for them might be great 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 grandfather was like. Okay. All right. So, just a quick table, just to explain that. All right. So Japheth, we get the Greeks, Thracians. This is the New Testament kind of people group. from the old, moving into the new. Sidonians, most part, Japheth's descendants settled in Europe and Asia Minor. Ham, Canaanites, Egyptians, Philistine, Hittites, Amorites, and they settled in Canaan, Egypt, and Africa, and Shem. Look at the blessing that eventuates. So the Hebrews, the Chaldeans, all the Babylonians, all the great powers of Assyria, Persian, and Syria, right? They were called the Semites, and from there we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and Jesus. Blessings are really, really important, right? Continue to bless our children. And so it was through these sons that the nations were born. And the greatest significant among them was Shem, descendant. I don't have the... There was a screen that actually had the descendants and how he actually goes all the way down to Jesus. But it was way too big and way too small to fit it on there. But Shem has five sons, Elam, Asher, Ashfad, Lud, and Aram. And they become the Semitic peoples, God's people. And so when we go through Eber and eventually Abraham comes from that group, people group, and we know the rest of the story. And it is through Abraham that Noah's blessing of Shem would ultimately be realized in calling of Abraham. I know you guys are going to stop before that, aren't you?
No, we can do it next week.
Next week, you're doing calling of Abraham?
We'll just talk about it.
Oh, talk about it. Sue, you want to get into it. One verse. And so it eventuates. So the table here and the diagram, this one, kind of shows that, you know, after the flood, how the people, and Noah was obedient to God, right? He had many children, and they multiplied, and they spread, and they filled the earth. And so we also have the same ancestry, right? If we go all the way back, we have the same ancestry. But also that means we also have the sins in our life. Sins in our life. And God chose Abraham so that through the seed, God's blessing would go to all the families of the earth. Right? That was his promise, and he's kept it true. And here we go. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to the glory God for his glory. And There is no Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And all the promises from Adam to John the Baptist have been fulfilled and in Christ. And he is the ultimate covering for our sin. Right? So the covering, the garment, or Jesus is our ultimate covering. And he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it is, if we don't have Jesus, no matter how many floods, no matter how many, whatever happens, there's no way that we'll be reconciled back to God. And through the seed, so you see Noah, through Shem, through Abraham, and we go through all the genealogies, and that's why genealogy is so important to actually have in Scripture. I know it's kind of so-and-so beget so-and-so, and so-and-so beget so-and-so. Once you get into a rhythm, it's okay. You can keep going through and it's good. But it is important to see that promise of God fulfilled and eventually in Jesus. So let me pray as we finish up. Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much of your goodness, of your blessing to us. You are an awesome God. You are a God who loves and who wants to bring his children back to yourself. And we do pray for those who do not know you yet. We pray that they will come to know your love, come to know of your son, and be once again part of this amazing family that you have given. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this gathering. We thank you that we can meet peacefully, to be able to study your word, to be able to be in your presence, and just to be able to share and have great time of fellowship as well, but get to know you more deeply, more intimately. to our heart's content. And we pray for the brothers and sisters around the world who might not have that opportunity or the privilege that we have together in safety because of persecution, because of fear for their lives. And we pray for them that you, in a supernatural way, will fulfill their heart's desire to know you more intimately through your Spirit. May they know that we pray for them, that we stand with them. And Lord, as we go from this place, just bless our footsteps. And wherever we go, may our words never curse, but always be a blessing to those around, that they may see you in us and glorify the Father in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you. There you go. Thank you.